The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're working our way towards the doctrine of spiritual gifts. That's will be coming up in chapter 12. We change subjects fairly dramatically from what we have been studying, and we will be reviewing this particular doctrine. So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we depend upon you for all things. We thank you for all the promises in your word relative to our lives as believers on this earth. We ask that you be with us during our study this evening and help us to continue to be supportive of one another and aware of the needs of one another as we move forward. In Christ's name, amen. The Apostle Paul considered the doctrine to be important. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or ill-informed. The definition of the term. Spiritual gifts are God the Holy Spirit given abilities to minister to others. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Spiritual gifts are different from natural abilities. The word gift, charisma, implies a non-meritorious bestowal, a gift, as it is used in connection with salvation. The term spiritual, pneumatikon, indicates the source being the supernatural. They are accomplished through human participation, application, but their effectiveness is due to the Spirit of God. Natural abilities can and often do complement one's gift or gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:4, are different from the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 2:22-23. Certain marks of the Holy Spirit are common to all growing Spirit-filled Christians. The list in Galatians of the different manifestations that are manifested in us when we are in fellowship. Two, subpoint two, the certain results in all Spirit-filled Christians include love. This is always at the top of the list, agape love, joy, plus H, peace, inner peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Three, in contrast, gifts are distinct, diverse, and greatly varied. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. The presence or absence of any one gift should never be a test of whether or not a person is spiritual. You understand that a spiritual Christian is a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit. The gifts are apportioned as God chooses. 1 Corinthians 12:11-18. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. This distribution is not something you get later in your Christian life. They are distributed at the point of salvation. Awareness of what individual gifts is another matter. But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. The body metaphor illustrates that All parts of our body serve a purpose and work for the good, when they're functioning properly, of course, work for the good of the body, the physical body overall. Therefore, both Christian character, uniform spirit, fruit of the Spirit, and Christian ministry, diverse gifts of the Spirit, is the works of the Holy Spirit. The extent of spiritual gifts. The Bible teaches that every Christian has one or more gift. Ephesians 4:7-8. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. That is the relocation of the in paradise of the souls of the Old Testament crowd, the believers, when he took them from there, Jesus personally in his resurrection body, and traveled with them and transported them and relocated them in the third heaven. And he gave gifts to men. Now, the two didn't happen simultaneous. The one event occurred, and he ascended to the right hand. And then later, on the day of Pentecost, is the beginning of the distribution of these gifts. B. But at the point of salvation, the believer is endued with a gift, at least one, as seen in the body metaphor just previously mentioned. As each bodily part is preassigned its place in the human body under the laws of genetics, so each of us is assigned an eye, a foot, a hand, private parts, ear, function, etc., via the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. Those distinctions are irrelevant. They do not keep anyone from having a gift. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. That means the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:4-6a. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. The significance of spiritual gifts. Roman numeral 4. Spiritual gifts are not a sign, as noted, of spirituality or of maturity, but of the new birth. The Corinthian church was endowed with all the spiritual gifts, as per 1 Corinthians 1:7. Yet the Corinthians tended to act up carnal, which is another word for being out of fellowship, and immature. However, spirituality and maturity affects a gift's level of performance. Gifts, apart from love, are offensive. Paul says this in applying to himself. It doesn't do you any good. Your gift is still there, obviously, but it is not. It's not in the operational mode. 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest, I don't know what I've got on that one. 14:1. Yeah. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Well, as we'll see, that is no longer operative. It carried the church, but that'll come up here. Gifts apart from growth are limited. Spiritual growth must be involved, obviously. Prerequisites for the normal function of the gifts. Love. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Growth from the teaching gifts. Ephesians 4:12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service or ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ. So you are equipped through an intake of doctrine and application within your niche. It'll work out for you. You'll figure it out down the road if you haven't already. Membership, and this is very important, in a local church is designated the designated environment for the functions of the gifts. That doesn't mean that you have to be on the property. It just means that you need to be a part of an active and bona fide local church. So that's logical. It's like being a part of some, some team. You have to be with the other players. You have to be in practice. You have to be involved in the things that are involved in that particular sport, and you are related to others. Acclimation to your particular gift as it relates to the royal chain of command. As suggested in the body metaphor, all gifts are not equal in authority. All should be subservient to the leadership gifts. Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. They're to be examples to you. Try 17. Obey your leaders. Although that verse was helpful. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Admonitions with regard to the acclimation to the royal chain of command. And that is what we have here, and we have had from the beginning. And that includes, first, the pastor-teacher, the board of deacons, and that is the chain of command and leadership in the local church. And each should function sympathetically with the others. First Peter 4. Believers sometimes in this church and historically have not always done that. I've had a rare occasion. I've had to call those a deacon aside and tell them to quit stepping on people, quit acting like this. They were kind of spiritual bullies. We had to call them aside and tell them that this is not how you're to deal with members of the royal family. 1 Peter 4:7-11. The end of all things is near, therefore be of sound judgment, a sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I am serving you this evening. I am your servant this evening. I am communicating and reviewing this information for your frame of reference and your encouragement with regard to the function of your gift or gifts. Whoever speaks, let him do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Your gift must reside in an environment where there is a formal structure. I repeat the point, a formal structure. It's not, if we follow the body metaphor, you don't disconnect members of the body. They all have to be together and working cohesively as a unit. I think that we're doing, in my evaluation of this local church at this particular time in its history, I think we are doing rather well in maintaining and functioning and keeping all the different things operative that need to be operative around here. Everything. All the different levels, as related to the individual deacons. We're keeping things in order. We're keeping our property up. We're taking care of our responsibilities so that we have this nice environment, which I am thankful and I thank God for it a lot, because I've been here since the very, very beginning. And all that has been done under all the spiritual gifts and all the applications, so that this is the result. A lot of what is done here has been done in this church was not with outside. We've used outside people. Obviously, you have to, with regard to certain things that they have expertise in. But somebody had to contact them. We had to set it all up and get it going. And I just don't remember any significant snafus and things and messes that we got into with regard to these things. I just have not. It's gotten done. And it's a tribute to the spiritual gifts and the functions and applications of believers. Because believers take out their time from their normal lives, their work and things, to be sure that this area is covered. So your gift must reside in an environment in which there is a formal structure. 1 Corinthians 14:40. But let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. Nothing chaotic. No one knows who's in charge. Everything running around. We don't have that. We don't have that. And every believer needs to acclimate to this. If we need to make some changes in certain respects, we will do it. And you need to be aware that everything is going to be 100% perfect all the time. But if we see that there's something that needs to be fixed or changed, we'll work in that direction and get it done. The leadership, pastor, teacher, and deacons must provide the environment so you will have a niche in which you can serve when you're ready to apply as God leads you. Now, there's applications that are directly related to the chain of command and those that are indirectly related. Like believers just stepping up and coming to someone's aid out there without us directing them, without us saying anything. They just did what they had to do to help some other believer or assist another believer with regard to things. And we didn't assign that and so forth. It was just somebody stepped up and did it. And we've all been beneficiaries of that. And you should be very thankful to God and to those individuals or that individual who is making it possible, perhaps even for you, to be here this evening. They make a sacrifice and make an application in your direction because you're another member of the body. And last time I checked, normal people take care of their physical person from head to toe. If there's a problem, they attend to it. Some ways of viewing the gifts, greater and lesser. The greater gifts are those gifts which, and by greater, we don't mean we're better than you or anything like that. They're just because of the function. Are those gifts which involve edification and authority, whereas our members of high standing have no need of it. 1 Corinthians 12:31, but show a greater interest in the greater gifts. So he says there are greater gifts. That is because if, you know, in the case of a local church, the pastor's gift, where are we without it? We've got to have that functioning. Those would be the greater gifts where we're, or I might, you know, it might be some others I haven't thought about where people are communicating, say, to teaching children Bible doctrine. The lesser gifts are enhanced by association with the greater, giving much more honor to that member which is inferior. The greater gifts are those which tend to edification. Desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Prophesy would be an illustration. The occupational hazard is that the lesser gifts, or people with lesser position, maybe of authority or something, might tend to be jealous of the greater, and that the greater despises the lesser, which I touched on earlier. The greater, and sometimes that involves both a gift and, in the case of a deacon, an office. And it's not going on now, but I've had to deal with it. They throw their weight around. Believers might come to them and need something or ask if they can serve, and they got pushed aside. And I was told this after the fact. That was unfortunate. But that's just STA activity. So the lesser gifts tend to be jealous of the greater, and so forth. Edification and service gifts. I already read that verse, so I won't read that again. Temporary and permanent gifts. Now, this is an important part of the doctrine, because there are those Christians or believers out there that have completely messed this all up. The temporary gifts were given to the church, and they served the church during the apostolic era. That date is at a rough date. Well, the first part of it isn't, because that's when it all started. And then as we move down towards the end of the apostolic era, these gifts fade away. They're no longer distributed. They're no longer needed for reasons that is brought out here. These gifts were essential to the foundational era. Remember that this is during the time when the canon of Scripture was still, the New Testament, was in formation. Everyone didn't have a Bible. Everyone didn't have this. So there were gifts that were designed to take up the slack during that era. That doesn't concern us, because we're not in that era. They were done away with when the New Testament canon was completed. 1 Corinthians 13. And it's right there. So that you can look at a whole group of the Pentecostal movements and all this kind of mess that ignores all of this. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. Now, there is a prophecy in the Old Testament that during the millennium, this gift will be, among the Jews, will be almost universal. There were female prophets of a sort who prophesied, who said things, different offices and functions. But in the church age, they'll be done away. And that begs the question as to when were they done away. They were phased out. And Paul makes this clear here in 1 Corinthians 13:8. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. When you have the completed canon of Scripture, you don't need somebody having a gift of knowledge. Those gifts are set aside, all of them. And tongues was to facilitate the ability, for one thing, a separate doctrine on it, the gift of languages, tongues. Tongue is an expression. What tongue does he speak? As a language. And it was a spectacular gift. There's no question about it. You can only imagine. Someone is suddenly able to articulate in a language that they have no frame of reference for whatsoever, and they're suddenly able to speak it on occasion fluently to the audience that is of the same language that can understand it. This was done and existed within the local church, or within the apostolic era, excuse me. Okay. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. The perfect is the completed canon of Scripture. It's the perfect. When it's in place, it's over. Completely over. That's all, James 1:23. Forget that. What that is. They were done away when the New Testament canon was completed. The Corinthian passage will suffice. 4. The temporary gifts carried the church until the Bible was completed. The permanent gifts carried the church until the rapture. Okay. The sign and infancy gifts. Some temporary gifts were signs to substantiate, corroborate, and authenticate the message of the resurrection by those who knew someone who had eyewitnessed it. And those, all those verses there in Acts, you expect to see them functioning in Acts. Paul had the gift, the additional gift of being able to do the signs. The sign gifts were not primarily for the church, but for unbelievers. That unbelievers would see these signs. And again, that's not just speaking in a foreign language. It involves healing and other factors that, and what I can tell from the New Testament, those began to be phased out rather quickly. The sign gifts were not primarily for the church, but for unbelievers. So then, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. Primary audience towards believers, as an example, as a quick example. Errors associated with these gifts. Sign and infancy gifts are for the church now. 1 Corinthians 13:11, within that context, when I became a man, I did away with childish things. The things that amused me as a child, they hold no amusement to me at all anymore. You see this in children. They grow up and what they were mad about, crazy about, they're not anymore. I did away with childish things. Sign gifts, healing, miracles, tongues should be preferred. 1 Corinthians 14:1-3, 3-6. You can read these verses. I've read some of them already. All believers should or could have a particular any gift like tongues. D. A certain gift indicated spirituality or maturity. The analogy of the gifts to the body parts, subordination and service, hand and foot, 1 Corinthians 12:15. Authority, head, 1 Corinthians 12:21, giving, private parts, gifts. And why is that? Because this is something we don't run around and tell everybody about. With regard to giving, we keep it to ourselves as much as possible. Service with glory, like a finger with an attractive ring, goes that far with it. Service that has some kind of pizzazz to it. It's like it's still a finger, but it just happens to have a nice ring attached to it. The senses, sight, hearing, and smell also illustrate gifts. 6. Corporately, the body is so structured that each part is to look out for the other in ways befitting each gift. And that's what I ask you and you continue to do. You keep aware of the needs of other members if you do nothing more than to pray for them. If you can assist them in any way, if you have a gift of exhortation, encouragement, some manifestation, a gift of mercy, you come to their aid. I've seen it function. quietly. They went about their business of coming to a particular person and helping them in their time of need. And again, without any particular direction of the local church. They just functioned under their gift, one-on-one. When one part suffers, all suffer. That's not necessarily a part of a spiritual gift, but in a normal functioning congregation, when believers are under particular suffering and believers are apprised of it, find out about it, the very least they do is they pray for the person. The very least. You might visit them. You might take them food. You might whatever. When you come to the aid of other believers, being aware of what they're under at any given time. When one is blessed, all rejoice with it. And again, 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 26. Classification, identification of the gifts. Spiritual gifts are listed in three principal passages, which you can look up. They're right there. That's a listing. They name 16 to 20 different gifts depending on whether or not certain ones like the same gift by different names. Teacher, pastor teacher, ministry, helps, managerial, and administrations. Oh, they're in those lists. To all Christians manifest many of these ministries in limited ways. Again, any of us can show mercy, but there is a hyper situation in a person who would have that particular gift, I would think. All Christians manifest many of these ministries, some of these ministries in limited ways, but concentration and exceptional ability for a particular one is a manifestation of a gift. The listing according to the passage is as follows. Temporary gifts are asterisks. And there's your chart. There they are. I think it's complete as far as we're concerned. We have in those three New Testament passages, Corinthians, Romans, and Ephesians, we have a listing there of gifts, in some instances, by a different name. So there you are. The gift of prophecy, again, stopped with the completion of the canon. The gift of apostle, the highest ranking and most important of the temporary gifts. Only 12 men were selected as apostles. Paul became the 12th. There's a whole background. Not that the church tried to elect a guy. You know, good intentions, but the first line apostles had to be handpicked by Jesus Christ. It wasn't good enough that believers in fellowship picked the right guy. It was that Jesus Christ handpicked all 12. And Paul was out of season and picked by the Lord directly in his Damascus Road experience. So, qualification was to be an eyewitness handpicked by Christ himself. 1 Corinthians 9:1. The gift of the word of wisdom supplied early churches with needed information to fill in those areas where they didn't have what we have in this Bible completed. The gift of the word of knowledge, same as point three above. Gift of healing. This was a gift, was a sign. It is passed from the seen. God heals today, but apart from healers. He heals in part by the prayer of faith. That's a challenging one. I'm not going to go into it. But it's an option if a believer chooses to do this. We don't ask anybody. The gift of miracles, it was the seal of apostleship. Miracles have not ceased, only the gift. Okay. The gift of discerning spirits, ability to test the authenticity of the claimed gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy in the early church. This is called checks and balances. If someone had the gift of knowledge or said they did or had something else, there was a gift to check it. Ability to test the authenticity of the claimed gifts where information is dispensed. The basis for testing all experience today is the completed written word of God. The gift of tongues, the gift has ceased, involved a bona fide language, not gibberish, not something made up. It was a sign gift. It was a sign to the Jews. It was a primary sign for unbelievers. The gift of interpretation of tongues ceased with tongues, naturally. Tongues were not to be exercised where this gift was absent, like they were doing in Corinth. The gift of faith is another sign gift, dealt with unusual situations. We all can have faith. We can even exercise great faith. But anyway, the permanent gifts, the gift of helps or ministry, this is a very common gift. It constitutes the ability to minister in physical service at the direction of others. It should function under the administrative gifts. Hands and feet illustrate these gifts. Not that you can't function under your gift without direct assignment by the board of deacons. I don't want to imply that, obviously. The gift of teaching operates under the supervision of pastor teacher. Here in our church is towards children, but not adults. Could be toward pastor teacher candidates, and has been. The gift of management or administration should be manifest in leadership. Does not have to be in connection with a church office. The gift of exhorting, a special God-given ability to exhort, motivate, and troubleshoot. Barnabas had this gift. He was called the son of exhortation. He had it at a very high level, apparently. Not a license to bully someone, play pastor teacher, or invade someone's privacy. The gift of giving, the grace to see and meet various monetary needs of the local body. And you don't have to be rich to have gotten this gift. You don't have to have abundance of money to have this gift of giving. All believers are to give, but this is above and beyond. Privacy of those should be protected, and we do. The gift of showing mercy, ability to help the sick, the aged, the needy, and what have you. Maybe visiting in prison, things of this nature. Different from helps in its objects. The gift of evangelism toward unbelievers. Not merely mass evangelism either. Like all gifts, it should operate under the royal chain of command and through the local church. Some teach that it no longer exists. The gift of pastor-teacher. The title is not of two different gifts. The omission of the Greek article between the two substantives, nouns, indicates this is a single gift with a twofold function. The word pastor means shepherd, which implies he should be with, face-to-face, with his sheep to lead, feed, and protect, and oversee. The word teacher means the ability to instruct academically. A local church should follow, and so should each believer, one drummer at a time, a doctrine that has been violated big time. We're not free to run around and move. God moves people around. This was the excuse. There are exceptions where individuals move to another location and get under another pastor, as in the case of someone in one church, the woman marrying a man from another church. Fine. Not a problem there. But in any case, someone should follow one at a time. This is all wrapped up in another doctrine. If you want to look up a verse, you can look up John 10:26. Let it ring in your ears. And I don't have the freedom to move around, move about, go here, go there. Thank God for that. The gift is designed to equip the other gifts to execute the royal imperatives. I'm not supposed to go out here. Not that I can't go out and help somebody if I choose to, and I have. But it's primarily you are equipped to go and do what you have to do. I already read that the recognition and development of the gifts, an inclination and desire for a particular kind of task, may mark the presence of a gift. You're drawn to something. Recognition by others and effectiveness marks a spiritual gift. As you attempt various tasks under mature leaders, you will discover your gift and your niche within a local church. D, those not exercising a gift should indicate your availability and interest, even if it is in some small way. It's a beginning, and it's important. You're serving the local body here. The gift of pastor-teacher calls for specialized training. That's obvious. All the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That implies they have the gift. A local church should be desirous of all gifts and should pray and seek for believers with certain gifts. The ultimate preparation for any gift is, again, face-to-face teaching. The parable of the talents, Matthew 25:14-30, teaches that while we may possess greater or lesser allotments of grace, gifts, we can attain to the same eternal reward. And finally, 1 Peter 4:10-11, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Like I said before, during our break, if anyone has any special needs of any kind, let us know, let somebody know, and we'll see what we can do to help you out. Continue to pray, stay in fellowship, and we'll meet the 8th, or we'll meet in the sky. I hope it's in the sky, but that's just me. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.